Okay, interview with Durgesh Desai. The date is the 15th of February 2004. Okay, I'd just like to start off, if you could briefly just tell me a little bit about your family's history and if you know where your parents were born.
My grandfather left India in 1914.
Yeah.
He comes from Western India, Gujarat,
mm-hmm.
specifically the town of Mahua, which is near Bhavnagar.
Okay.
My grandfather left India to go and settle in what is now known as Malawi,
mm-hmm.
which is in Central Africa. My father was born there, so was I.
Uh-huh. Why did your grandfather move over there?
My grandfather had a fight with his father.
Okay.
And Mahua happens to be a port city.
Uh-huh.
So he got into one of those dhows
mm-hmm.
to travel to Africa. And then he trekked all the way from Mozambique to Malawi, which is about 200 plus miles.
Quite a way in, isn't it? Yeah.
It's 200 plus miles.
Okay, and what was his, did he have a profession at the time, or was he just going to start?
My grandfather started working for a firm of solicitors.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, he was educated up to what was known as the metric standard.
Okay.
So he worked as a solicitor's clerk.
Okay. And then your father, did he work?
My father used to work as an accountant for a cooperative society.
Uh-huh. What town was your father born in?
He was born in Blantyre.
Okay. And your mother?
My mother was born in Kenya.
Okay. So that's quite a long way apart.
Because my parents, my father used to travel from Malawi to India,
uh-huh.
and you could either go by ship in those days or by aeroplane, and you had to stop. If you went by ship, you went to Nairobi first from Malawi,
uh-huh.
then you went to Mombasa by train to get the ship. Or if you flew, you went to Nairobi first, and there were only two flights a week.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to stop in Nairobi, and this was a family friend's house, and they happened to meet there, and that's how they got married.
So that's how they met.
Yeah. That's how it happened.
Okay. And so then, what was life like for yourself then, growing up in Malawi?
Growing up in Malawi was, although we had lots of Hindu families there, we used to have a temple there as well, but we did what everybody did. You went to temple once a week, every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the days you did what, you either went to school, mm-hmm. or if you were working, you were working.
You know the temple in Blantyre, was that a purpose-built temple?
It is a purpose-built temple.
Okay. Because I've been there and I was thinking maybe it's the same one.
It's a purpose-built temple.
Yeah, okay. What about festivals and celebrations and stuff like that? What was that like?
We used to have all the major Hindu festivals were celebrated
okay.
there.
Okay.
And we had a small Gurudwara as well in Limbi.
Okay.
Where the Sikh festivals used to be celebrated. And there was a very small Buddhist community as well.
Mm-hmm. And there was no conflict, right?
No.
Okay. How many of you were there in your family?
I've got five sisters.
Sisters.
One older to me, four younger to me.
Look at you. And what did you? You went to school and everything?
I did my primary school in Malawi. I did my secondary school from India in Gujarat.
Okay, so you went back.
My parents packed me up in a boarding school to study.
Okay, what was
since
that?
Since I was only son.
Uh-huh.
So that I wouldn't be spoiled at home. So I studied in Gujarat. I did my secondary high school from Gujarat. I did my university from Gujarat as well.
Uh-huh.
Then I went back to Malawi. I worked for a few years and then I came here.
Okay.
In 1983 I came to the UK.
What were you working as before you came here?
As an accounts assistant.
Accounts assistant, okay. So is that what you got your training in then?
Yes.
Well? Okay.
Well, once I came to UK I qualified as an accountant as well.
Okay. So were you the first of your family to come to the UK?
Yes. From my father's side I was the first one.
Uh-huh. And did you have any other family here? Like
I had a few aunts here.
So are they the people that met you? Or?
Yes. Uh-huh. My father's sisters, there were three sisters here.
Okay.
Two in London, one in Birmingham.
Okay. Tell me what it was like for you the first time you came here. What was it like?
It was a very nice, different experience.
Uh-huh. How old were you?
Okay.
So what was it, can you remember the first day you arrived here? What were your expectations of the place and then what was it actually like?
Well, I arrived at Gatwick Airport.
Mm-hmm.
This shouldn't go in next week.
Okay.
Next week gets edited.
Okay.
I was meant to be picked up by my aunt.
Okay.
Nobody came to pick me up and I made my own way from Gatwick to Tooting. I found that if you could read English and you could see the signs, you wouldn't get lost. But it was a very different experience coming to what I thought was much more civilized society and civilized part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Was it actually?
In those days, I found it more civilized.
Yeah. Okay.
In those days, yes.
And now?
It's changing.
So where did you study then when you came here?
I studied with London School of Accountancy.
Mm-hmm.
I did my ACC exams. I qualified as an accountant, and I now teach students who want to become accountants.
Okay, to get more.
Yes, to get
and
them through.
Did you go back then to Malawi?
No, I haven't been since.
You've stayed here?
Since I came here in 83, my parents left Malawi in 1987.
Mm-hmm. And they came to stay here with you?
Yes, they've now settled here.
What was it like for them coming here?
My father left Malawi because they changed the nationality laws in Malawi in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
So although my father was born there and I was born there, my father did not have rights to work in that country. He had to apply for a work permit. So that's when he decided to leave.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like for both of them? Because, I mean, they were very settled.
Yes, they were very well settled.
I mean, you coming here as a student
yes.
is one thing, but coming...
But them coming here was totally different because my father never envisioned leaving Malawi.
Yeah.
That was the only country he ever knew. He had to move. He was in his 50s then, like early 50s. He came and settled down here.
Okay. And have you been in London? Did you stay in London the whole time?
I've stayed in London ever since, yes.
Ever since. And what was the, what year did you come here?
1983.
83. So there's quite established Hindu communities.
It was.
By that stage.
Yes.
And did you have much contact with them at the time? Or
I used to live at the Indian YMCA in central London.
Okay.
And we had lots of different nationalities staying at the YMCA.
Mm-hmm. So there was quite a bit of interaction,
yes.
Uh-huh. I want to move on and just ask you a little bit about your religious practices. How have they changed? Well, no, first of all, I want to ask you, do you have any family traditions with regard to religion? Like, do you have like a traditional murti that you worship or a guru or?
When I was young and I was living at home with my parents and grandparents, my grandfather used to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita every morning. So whilst I was still sleeping, I would hear that. So we grew up in that environment.
Yeah.
I then lived for about 5 years in a Roman Catholic boarding school. So I learned about those practices as well.
Yeah.
And then for a few years when I was at university in Baroda, there was no basic religious practice at all.
Mm-hmm.
And once I went back to Malawi, it got into the mainstream of doing things at the temple, visiting the temple regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Okay. And then when you came here then?
When I came here in 1983, my main incentive of going to the Radha Nandineshwar temple was for prasadam.
Okay. You just found it as prasadam.
I just saw devotees one day and I followed them and then I knew where I could get some prasadam. And I still remember, I see the pujari in those days used to be a black chap called Navadvip.
Okay.
The moment we walked in, there were three of us, he would just give us a plate of prasadam, we would take it and we'd go out.
That was it. So how do you feel that your own personal religious practices have changed then over the years?
They've become more regulated now.
Okay.
We now understand why we do certain things. Because before it used to be, they do it, we are supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having read some of Prabhupada's books, you understand why you do certain things. When you come to the manor here, you interact with lots of other people. You ask questions. You get proper answers. And there are logical answers, and therefore you understand why you do certain things.
Okay. And what about yourself personally then? What would you say are your beliefs then that you live your life by?
I live my life by the Bhagavad Gita.
By the Bhagavad Gita. So everything?
Yes. We follow the four regulatory principles. I travel a lot. I sometimes go hungry. I go without food if I can't identify what's in the food in the hotels, I won't eat it.
And do you have...
And I normally tell the devotees, you have made us into something that we were not that, like that before. You eat, now you don't eat. You think. Each time you pick up something, you think.
Mm-hmm. And,
it's good.
Yeah. Do you have... does your family have a guru or do you have a guru?
My wife and I are aspiring for Radharath Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a family guru as such.
Right. And... How do you think that the youth of today, do you think that they are taking up religious practices now, or more so than say when you were a youth, or do you feel it's less?
It's if you don't have people who come to temples or any other temple, not specifically ISKCON temples, even the Swaminarayan, if your family doesn't go there, then that portion of the youth, they are lost completely. Because I see a lot of them at the college where I work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know why they are here, what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
They try to imitate Western people and Western principles without realizing why they are doing it.
Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of following?
Yeah, they're just following. They just do what things that the youth have to do.
Okay. It's the thing to do.
Yeah.
Do you think it's important for the youth to learn their mother tongue?
Yes. If you learn your mother tongue, then at least you can converse with your elders. Because
mm-hmm.
not all elders can speak English.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know it, and at least you can follow the narrative side of it, you're still okay.
Mm-hmm.
By learning it, I don't mean reading and writing. Because
mm-hmm.
my wife can just about read, but she can't write.
Okay.
But she can speak it properly.
Yeah. I guess the main thing is to speak it.
Speak it. Even if you have a little bit of your own mother tongue, it's still good for you.
Okay.
I feel so anyway.
Yeah. And one thing that people often talk about, and I just want to get your opinion on it, the caste system and the caste breakdown of people, do you think that's still important today? Do you think people still identify with it?
It's becoming less and less identifiable now. This used to be clear. When I got married in 1989, my father-in-law did not talk to me for one whole year.
Okay.
Exactly. We don't come from the same caste.
Okay. So what caste are you from then?
My wife is a Brahmin and I'm what you would call a Nagar.
Okay.
So different castes altogether.
Different castes altogether.
Yes.
Okay. A couple of final questions then. How would you identify yourself now? Because got a very strong Indian background, but your family have deep roots then obviously in Malawi and Africa. You lived in the UK for such a long time, got a very strong religious background as well. So if somebody was to ask you, who are you, what would you say?
I tell them that I was born in Africa, I was raised in India, and I'm now living in the UK.
Okay. That's it.
Which is just about right.
Briefly.
Briefly.
And where do you see his home now?
Home is between India and UK.
Okay.
Not Malawi anymore.
Not Malawi anymore. Do you ever go back to Malawi?
I haven't been since, but I've got a sister who still stays there.
Okay. And how does she find it?
She finds it different, but she likes to be there because she's qualified as a doctor.
Okay.
So she likes to work there.
Okay.
With the local people.
And do you ever go to India?
Almost every year.
Every year, yeah. So what's the pull to India?
I've got relatives in India, my father's side, mother's side relatives. I just built a house for them too, because my parents have just retired. So that was the main reason for going. And otherwise, we go and spend about a week in Vrindavan and a week in Mayapur.
Every year?
If either it's Vrindavan or Mayapur, or we do a trek of the temples.
That's very lucky. And finally then, I just want to ask you if you've got any final message to give to people who will be listening in the future, anybody who could be listening. Any final thought or maybe how they could better their lives?
Regulated religious principles, religious life is very important. It keeps you focused in your day-to-day work. That's what I find.
Okay.